Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. There was no corpse in the trial of a man who was accused of killing his wife. All of the evidence was circumstantial. And in his closing arguments, the defense attorney resorted to a trick. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have a surprise for you. In 1 minute, the woman presumed to be dead will walk into the courtroom through that door." He looked at his watch and then looked at the door. And he saw all the jury watching that door with him. The minute passed. Nothing happened. And the lawyer said, "I made that up, the woman walking through the door. But you all stared at the door with me. I would propose that represents reasonable doubt in that you anticipated this person who presumed to be dead would walk through that door. Therefore, I ask you to bring back a verdict of not guilty for my client." The jury went for their deliberations clearly confused, but in 1/2 hour, they came back with a verdict to the courtroom. The verdict was guilty. The defense attorney was shocked, especially that they had come back with that verdict so quickly. And he stood and said, How could you do that? How could you make my client guilty? Was there no reasonable doubt on your part? I saw you all looking at that door with me." The foreman of the jury rose and said, "Yes, all of us looked at the door, except your client did not look at the door." There were at least two people in that courtroom who knew no one was going to walk through that door. What about the disciples on that Easter evening? 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the great resurrection of our Lord. The disciples, having heard that great news from women who had gathered at the tomb earlier on that day, yet that night, the disciples had closed themselves behind locked doors for fear of the Jewish authorities. Now, if Mary Magdalene had been standing among the disciples that night, what if she had said, "Disciples, I have a surprise for you. In 1 minute, the one presumed to be dead, Jesus, is going to walk through that door." Would all of the disciples' heads have swiveled and looked at that door? Now, Thomas was not with them that night. It was he who said he would not believe Jesus was risen unless he could see it with his eyes, unless he could touch it with his hands. Would Thomas have considered this just an idle tale by Mary Magdalene and have frozen his head into place? Well, we know what happened on that Easter evening. All of a sudden, Jesus came and stood among them, the risen Jesus. Now, we don't know if he used the door. We don't know anything more than what it says in the Bible, that he just stood among them. The one presumed to be dead is living. Maybe the disciples should have kept their eyes on the door. In our long reading from Acts for today, we encounter one of those disciples, a chief disciple, one named Peter. Following Jesus' resurrection, Peter's been traveling amongst all the cities and the villages, proclaiming the great news of Jesus Christ, particularly if what we have read today is a model of what he has been doing. And while in Joppa, he has even raised a wonderful woman, a servant of the Lord named Dorcas, from the dead. Many people have believed in Jesus because of Peter. And in that reading today, we have an example of Peter's powerful preaching. He tells succinctly the story of Jesus Christ, beginning with his baptism in the River Jordan by John and moving to the cross and to the resurrection. Oh, Peter's eyes must have been on the door. Peter declares that he was an eyewitness to that resurrection. He has eaten with Jesus. Are the people's eyes on that door, waiting for the risen Christ to come in? Moreover, Peter says that those who have been privileged to be eyewitnesses are commanded to preach that great news of Jesus Christ to all the people. It is a wonder that the people of God continue to receive that message even in this day. But in that day, it was a truly novel message. It was a message in which people wondered, is this true or is this an idle tale? Would their eyes have been trained to the door, or would they have sat at the defendant's table simply staring straight ahead? But there's a surprise in this particular story. All of the people traveling with Jesus, with Peter, very likely, are people who have converted to the way of Christ from the Jewish faith. Peter's mission has been primarily to preach to the Jews. In fact, there were some in that day who believed that the good news of Christ belonged only to the people of the Jewish faith. And here's the surprise. When Peter gets done preaching his powerful sermon, the Holy Spirit falls on everybody in the place. It's not just for Jewish converts. It's for everybody. There's more excitement in that place, like Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, more excitement than our ability, perhaps again, to gather with all of our friends in our favorite restaurant after a stay-at-home order is over. But we need to back up just a little bit in this story, back up to an important man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort, according to the Bible. This important man, a Gentile, one day had a vision that he should invite Simon Peter, who was in Joppa, to his home. So he sends some of his people to get Peter. At the same time in his traveling, Peter in Joppa goes to a rooftop to pray, and while praying, falls into a trance. In that trance, he sees a large sheet descending with all kinds of animals on the sheet, all unclean animals. And a voice says to Peter, "Kill and eat." Peter is flabbergasted. He can't do that. He says, I won't, I can't, I never have done that. Three times the voice speaks to him. The voice says, what God has declared clean, you must not declare unclean. Peter wakes up from the trance, wondering, what has been going on here? What is happening? At that very same moment, the people from Cornelius' cohort, likely Gentiles, Italians, are knocking on the door asking for Peter. Peter uses the opportunity to preach the powerful sermon about which you have already heard. Peter's eyes are on the door. Peter is giving this opportunity for people to hear the great good news of Jesus Christ. And it falls on the ears of everybody there, even the Gentiles of the Italian cohort. It is not Peter's job to determine who is unclean or clean. Not Peter's job to determine who is worthy to hear the message. It is Peter's job to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then God will do just fine by himself, offering the Holy Spirit to all. Oh, it seems like I want to go off script here and ask for a Honolulu to something like that. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, given to everybody in attendance. Lord, Lord, can everybody's eyes be trained on the door? Is this for Gentiles too? Is this for the 90-year-old and the teenager? Is it for the citizen and the immigrant? Is it for the rich and the poor? Lord, is this message for the people I have considered unclean? And we hear the voice. What the Lord has made clean, you must not call profane. It is a great surprise for the people in Peter's day. Maybe it is a great surprise for us that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for absolutely everyone. Would people's eyes be trained on the door in our day, or would we believe it to be an idle tale? Wherever you are right now, you are watching this over a computer or a telephone or a tablet or a television, I want you to look at the door. If you look at that door, do you expect Jesus Christ to walk through that door for you right now, in this very moment? And then, like the Easter evening, Jesus, all of a sudden, is with you as Jesus was with the disciples. We don't know if he used the door, but Jesus is with you in this very moment. And as he said to the disciples, so he says to you, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Peter was sent to Jews and Gentiles. You also are sent to a very troubled world with a word of peace and hope, to a world that desperately needs a word of peace and hope. May you be those givers of the good news in these days. And may you be lifted up by the one who has made you clean by water and the word. Amen.